Welcome to Shenanigans. Hey, it's Aisha.
Hey, y'all, it's Jenny.
Yo, baby, what's up? It's Tyra.
And we are a dose of melanin empowerment that is a reminder of how bomb you are and how dope you can be. Featuring edutainment about beauty, life, and health, mixed with a true depiction of how strong she can be. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome back to Shenanigans. We are back yet again. Glad to be back.
Did you miss me?
Yes, they definitely missed you, Jenny. And we are so excited to be back. We're kind of in rare form tonight, per usual. But we're going to make it through this week.
Yeah.
So last time, hopefully you listened to our last episode. We chatted about, you know, pretty much how dating sucks in 2019. Mm. So if you can relate, you definitely want to go back and listen to that episode. There were definitely some key points and some gems in there. And we talked about positivity. We talked about essential oils. And also talked about, what did I talk about?
Saying no in relationships.
In relationships and how powerful that is. So definitely go back and check out episode 9. And hit us up. Let us know what you think. But we're going to dive into this episode with an icebreaker.
Yes, this week our icebreaker is going to be about prom. I want to talk about you all's prom experience. I was just, you know, reflecting on the interwebs and I see all these like prom proposals. You know, that the children are doing these days. I cannot relate.
It's not a thing.
But, yes, I wonder about prom. Like, how did y'all go? Did y'all have a date? Did you have a date?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't know if that was another
rhetorical question.
Okay, so I wasn't even going to go to prom. And I ended up, like, going last minute because it was, like, my senior year. And it was the last time I was going to be able to go. So I went with like a friend. I mean, he was a date, but it wasn't like that type of date. But yeah. So I mean, it was a cool experience, I guess. I think if I would have originally had wanted to go, I probably would have planned for it and made sure that I actually had like a date and probably would have like planned to do stuff like, you know. But I don't know what they do after prom, go out to eat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but it was cool.
What colors did you wear?
Red.
Me too.
Yeah, I wore red.
I did too.
And the thing is, it's like I'm not, and I think I got the dress because
it fit.
Yeah, that, and then I think because of the cost. But I don't. Yeah. I don't think like I'm not a big red person. I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of wearing red. But that's, I wore red. Yeah. It was fun though. I kind of wish I could redo it. Like if I could, I think it would have been a lot more fun.
Do you remember where was that?
Yeah, it was at the Indiana Roof Ballroom.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that is nice. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, it was a fun experience.
He's just chewing, so I guess I'll talk about.
Yeah, sorry, I'm so hungry. I need a snack. Sorry.
I wanted to go by myself, and my friend said hail to the gnaw on that because we had plans. And so I ended up asking my date to prom because, of course, like, it's me. But he was cool. He was just one of my friends, and he was real, real cute. And he drove a BMW truck. So, like, I'm like, ooh. Well, we got the car taken care of. You're going to look exceptionally well in my pictures. You don't go to school here. So everybody's going to be like, who is that guy? So it ended up working out. Me and my friends, we all lived in the same condo addition. So our parents rented out the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And our whole, it was five girls. So it was like 10 of us. And everybody had their cars. We took pictures, went to Maggiano's. We went to prom. It was a lot of fun. And then in Tyra fashion, I ended up leaving with somebody else.
Prom. terrible.
I left prom with the person I really wanted to go to prom with. But here's the thing. I was going to ask him to go because he's real, real cute and we were really good friends. But the day I was going to ask him, he told me that he asked somebody else. She ended up ditching him for somebody else. So he would have gone solo.
Dang.
And I'm like, dang, if I would have known, I just would have.
When would you?
Yeah. So, yeah. It was really fun. Like, we went downtown. I walked the canal and spent the night. Had a big sleepover at my best friend's house. And I don't think we ended up going to Kings Island the next day. But we, like, had planned. My friends, my mom on the bus. So, we had it all planned out. Didn't end up happening. I don't know. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Cool. I looked really cute. My dress was like a mermaid dress, and it was blue, white, and pink. It sounds disgusting, but it looks
blue, white, and pink.
Oh, I'm gonna show it.
Oh boy!
I know it sounds like a lot, but I was cute. I'm about to pull up a picture because I'll prove you wrong. You've seen a picture of me at prom.
I'm pretty sure I have.
Yeah, you've seen a picture. I'm gonna find it. You can tell me about your experience while I find this picture.
My prom experience sucked. Like, from the beginning, like, from the concept, from the beginning. If I wasn't on the planning committee, because
of course
Aisha
were.
Fashion,
of course,
I was a class officer and student council president, so I had to go. But I had met this guy, was talking to this guy, and we were going to prom together, like, figuring out all the things. He would definitely be on my no list, like we talked about before. Oh, that's pretty.
Yeah.
Tyra's showing her dress. We'll tweet these out.
Yes, I will tweet out my prom. My prom picture.
Yeah. But he had all these issues going on. Anyways, the guy up and moved. Right. Literally a month before prom. Just he called me and was like, I moved to Minnesota.
What?
And I was like, what are you talking about? Me? And he's like, yeah, like, I moved. And I'm like, well, what the heck? Who am I supposed to go to prom with now? And me and Keisha, my best friend, we end up going to prom with gay guys. Who are our friends? Who are our friends?
It was fun, though.
You know, it was cool. I mean, it was really, we really just took pictures together and hung out, and that was about it. But, you know, prom was interesting. I ran for prom queen, and I lost by one vote.
What? Mm. What hater?
One
what vote. Hater?
They ended up voting on a day that I think I wasn't at school, and apparently, like, the votes didn't go out right, like the ballots didn't go out right, so not a lot of classes knew we were voting, and so when they did the count, like my date counted it because he was the class president, and he's like, it hurt me so bad to not tell you this all night. I was like, that's terrible. And he's like, you literally lost by one vote. And I was like, duh, of course, because this is my life. And then the guy I was supposed to hook up with after ghosted me. So yeah, my prom sucked. We went to like Fridays. There weren't many places for us to go afterwards. But the next day we did go to Kings Island. We had a class trip and we went, and so that was cool. But the whole prom, like, you could throw that away.
Was it your senior prom?
Yeah.
See,
I didn't go to junior prom.
Do it differently. We have, like, junior prom is prom. And then senior year, we have a grad dance, which is, like, semi-formal. And then we have, like, a carnival at midnight, like, after grad dance.
Oh, wow.
We have a carnival, like, in the school gym. But the grad dance is somewhere else, and then you drive to the school.
Wait, what high school did you go to?
North Central.
A bougie one, apparently.
Yeah,
I'm like, that don't sound like none here.
Yeah,
Indianapolis.
Yeah, what's North Central? What? North Central Panthers. It is like when you think of like High School Musical school.
That's what it
sounds
like.
It is exactly like that. It is like the perfect setup. It was High School was a lot of fun.
We didn't have any money.
It was perfect.
I'm from Gary. We didn't have any money.
I'm sorry,
for that.
Sister.
Yeah. So yeah, but I wore red, like I said to Jen. Pretty sure I got it because the dress fit. I had real bad body issues back then. The dress fit, I got it like altered so it'd be tight on my hips because I did like my hips, like I still do. So it was cute. But the guy I really wanted to go with, I thought he was going with this Tatiana. But he didn't. He went by himself. So I could have went with him. He was like, you look real good. And I'm like, don't tell me that. You should have been my date.
Oh, yeah. Fun. I didn't have no curfew this night. I was not bad at all. Like, what the heck? I wasn't bad. I was very good the night of prom.
I'm pretty sure I had a curfew.
I didn't have one the night of prom.
I had a curfew in college.
And then went to my best friend's house. Like, that was my life. Oh, yeah. I had a good amount of freedom that I didn't abuse. We talked about this, though.
But these kids and these prom proposals,
it's too much.
It's a lot.
And these prom reveals, mm-hmm. like, I seen a girl come out of ambulance.
I'm done. Like, this
I'm pretty
is
sure somebody
had a girl in a coffin.
Yes.
Did you see
Wait,
that?
What?
Yes. Like, people's gonna be dead when they saw her. Like, that was the that was the gist. Like, they go, you'll be dead when you see me because I look so good. Like,
oh wow.
Or when they have like the dancers, you remember the one?
Yes, the Beyonce.
The Beyonce dancers.
Yes.
People and, had, like, and then she came out, she wasn't even that cute, but she came out just like it's a joke.
These promposals is probably more extravagant than some and of y'all real proposals.
They are. They are.
Like, they go all out to ask people to prom. Like, it is a whole thing.
Writing in the sky.
Planes.
When has it ever been that deep?
So many all these flowers and things wrote on your line. Candlelit wow. dinner with the signs.
I can't get no candlelit dinner now.
I'm like, keep
at
that
almost
energy.
29.
Right. Keep that energy, young man, because it just magically disappears. I guess that's the one good thing about it. At least the boys are learning to do something nice.
Maybe, because mine was a, hey, you trying to go to prom with me? And his response was, hey, let me check and make sure I'm free. It was nothing romantic about it. Where is
Shut
the romance?
Up.
Do y'all keep this up when y'all get grown? I hope so. I hope so, because I mean, I ain't hopeful.
Reminds me of Laguna Beach. Yeah, I used to watch Laguna Beach and cry.
Why? I was not into.
I was so jealous.
That was not my dish.
Oh man, I could watch that now. That Mm-mm. The Hills. Mm-mm. Those my shows.
No.
Those shows before.
They're good. You should. If you ever want to see white privilege, watch those shows.
You can just walk out your house and see white privilege. Don't
I mean,
even.
But see it up close. Uh-huh. Be in their house. See what these high schoolers are doing and have at their disposal. Watch it. Not even kidding.
Is it like a reality show?
Yeah. It was like one of the first.
Yeah, on like MTV.
MTV reality shows. And it was like all about these rich high schoolers. Following them around. They went to the beach and had bonfires all summer. It was about who was hooking up with who.
Wow.
Who was going to prom with who. How did they get proposed to for prom? What internships their dads paid them. Never mind.
Oh, come on.
What internships they got. You know, to set them up for success.
I heard that shade. I heard it.
Yeah. So, you know, you should go watch it. It's good entertainment for a Saturday.
Maybe I will.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that reminiscing on those good old prom days, man.
They
those
don't even
rough.
Matter now. Like,
no.
Thinking back at how much energy we put mm-hmm. into prom, doesn't even matter now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were so like hung up on who we were going with that it really didn't matter.
Mm-mm.
No. I don't even remember giving my pictures out. I'm sure I did. Oh. Then that's what I was bitter about. You talked about like your whole family being there and stuff.
Yeah, my whole family was there. Yeah.
It was me? Like, well,
no, like to send me off.
To send her off to prom. Oh, okay. And they did that for my sister. They did it for my brother. Mm-hmm. Mind you, 11 and 9 years apart from me. So by the time it got to me, like no one was there. Like it was just me, my mom, my dad, and my sister came and did my makeup. Like,
because
I didn't wear makeup. So I was like, well, this sucks. Everyone was in the house when y'all went to prom.
Yeah.
It's just not a good memory. Tragic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Tyra.
I
set the tone for the episode.
No, we're moving forward. None of those things matter.
Yeah,
none of that matters. So sure. Let it go. I'm setting that type of tone.
Okay, sounds great. I'll try. So who has our hot topic today?
You do.
No.
Yes.
I don't think I do. Go ahead, Ty. What you got?
Oh, I don't have anything.
So this episode, hot topic, we're talking about insecurities and like what insecurities that you all have and how you think that they, you know, take a toll or how they can take a toll in like your relationships, whether it's like an actual significant other relationship or like friendship or any type of relationship that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it. That's the one.
So what are some insecurities that y'all feel like y'all have? Or is it, do you all feel like it's hard to kind of like communicate like your insecurities or to like be honest with yourself about some that you may have and how they may interfere with your relationships? And if so, like what are they? And if you want to share like a experience of how it like interfered or like affected your relationship.
I definitely, I'm aware when my insecurity is like coming into play. I was aware when my insecurity was coming into play when I used to date. But it's kind of hard to turn off. Like, I think that, you know, I will, like I said, ghosting is just very traumatizing.
It
really is. And so, like, sometimes, like, I know on the last episode, I talked about, you know, not having to wait until he texts you first and stuff like that. But sometimes, like Jen said, after, you know, doing that for so long or maybe being the first one to reach out, it's like, okay, well, if we, you know, don't talk because I'm reaching out, is that because you don't want to talk to me and you're just not saying it? And I get very unsure about people's like intentions, and so then that makes me nervous of whether or not they're just trying to bow out and they don't know how to do it. So that used to be like a really big insecurity for me, is, you know, not knowing when someone is just gonna up and stop talking to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I've maybe invested, you know, a little emotion,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little caring, because otherwise I wouldn't be talking to you. Mm-hmm. So that can be hard.
Yeah. I feel like along those lines for me is like when that happens, me thinking about, okay, well, like you were being consistent like all this time and then you just like change, and then I'm thinking like, well, what is it that I did in order for or to make you change? And most of the time it's really not me, it's just the person. You know, things are all, you know, happy in the beginning, and some people kind of just fall into that, well, it's the same old thing, or just not interested anymore and don't really want to express that. But sometimes I think, well, maybe it's something that I did wrong that I couldn't like keep that person's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think really my own personal insecurity definitely like weight, but the people that I date are so usually so much bigger than me.
Yeah,
that it's never really like
a thing.
It's just
what you
my
think about
own
it.
Thing.
Yeah,
yeah, it's my own thing. But I never really have insecurities as far as them and other people. Definitely ghosting. Like the moment that I feel like you are on some shady type stuff. And I generally try to be as understanding or as flexible as possible, because things do happen, and, you know, whatever, because I like to pick and choose my battles. But I, like, if I feel like you're ghosting me, I cannot handle it. Like, I've done some crazy stuff because I was being ghosted.
Yeah.
I feel like I was well within my right, even though I know that it was wrong. But I had to invest it. I need to be sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially when I told this person, I don't care what you do, don't ghost me.
Yeah.
So, like, and yeah. it has happened several times. So, I think it's, like, if something has happened, you know, you kind of have, like, a little bit of PTSD about mm-hmm. it. Like, that can be definitely triggering. But most of the time when I date people, they have insecurities towards me instead of me towards them. Mm-hmm. So it's either me and other men or, and, you know, I mean, you like somebody to, like, you know, feel away.
Right.
Like, you know, want you to themselves, mm-hmm. but also, like, not to the point where it's scary. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
I definitely, I remember one time I was for real being ghosted and I was pissed because it was someone I had dealt with for probably like 7 years. And so it was like, you're really doing this right now? I will come to your house. But like, I just spent, like, I would spend a day and I would just text them until they text me back. Mm-hmm. Or I would just keep calling. That was in a very unhealthy space. But I would just really sit. And I'm like, you're really not going to answer my phone. I'll leave voicemails. You're really not answering my phone calls. And so that's very triggering mm-hmm. for me. Like, please do not ignore me. Just tell me.
Oh,
I'd rather you say, Heffa, I don't want to talk to you ever again.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Good to know. You'll never hear from me. Like,
you only got to tell me you want.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh yeah, ghosting, oh my gosh.
I mean, I've been in situations where like that was really hard for me, and I think it came to a point where I had to realize that, like, you know, no answer is still an answer. Mm-hmm. And it took me a long time mm-hmm. to really yeah. realize that. Yeah,
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so true.
So yeah.
That's so true. I think in addition to weight, I mean, even in addition to weight and then aside from weight, I think that because for a very long time I didn't feel like attractive, mm-hmm. then you get around other people and you wonder, well, are you looking at them because you think that they're attractive, or, you know, are your female friends really your friends? Mm-hmm. And you just get caught into that very insecure place because of how you look at you mm-hmm. and not knowing how someone else is looking at you too.
Yeah, I think something, I mean, it's not that recent, but something that I kind of feel insecure about is like having to like talk about like my family history and explain all that, because it's like, I mean, when you're getting to know someone, it's hard not to talk about it.
Yeah.
But then like having to, it's like, oh, I gotta say this, I gotta explain this and this and this. And so sometimes I feel like, well, you know, like a lot of people, you know, they want to be part of a big family that's like connected. My family is not like that. And so sometimes I think, like, is it gonna be hard, like, you know, if I at some point get to a point where it's like I'm dating and I'm trying to, like, it gets serious and we're talking about the future, like, is that person not gonna want to be with me because of that? So
that's really interesting, Jane.
Yeah. So I feel like as an adult, that's something that I've dealt with more so, like, in the past. I mean, wasn't really thinking about like marriage and all that other stuff. I wasn't thinking about it. So, yeah.
And I think, even another level down. I mean, with all the health stuff that I've dealt with, like, over the last years or whatever, you know, even aside from my actual infertility, like, what all contributed to that, that even made, like, dating and sex very complicated for me. And so, you know, having to get a guy to understand those details enough to care and understand and be sensitive when guys aren't always trying to be like that. Like, they're like, so we're fucking or not? And I'm like, probably not, because da, 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 da. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, and it's not just it's just today. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be the next day. And I think I was really insecure about even that whole situation and, you know, opening up, but also getting someone to understand that. And if, you know, my relationship ever changes in the future, me and Nick fall off the planet, like, dating, if I had to date again, those issues still are there. Yeah. And having to go through that again is something I'd rather not.
Yeah. I think a lot of women at some point in time in, like, their dating history have felt insecure because, again, men will say they don't want to be in a relationship, mm-hmm. or, you know, but still operate in a space of situationship type things on various levels.
Yeah.
Because you still want to connect with people, but some, you know, they will do all the benefits, mm-hmm. you know, of a relationship, but don't want to be with you. And I think after dealing with that so many times, you know, it can weigh on your self-confidence and make you feel like, well, what is it about me that yeah. mm-hmm. nobody wants to commit to me, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. what is it about me that nobody just wants mm-hmm. to be with me, but they just want to be around me and they want to have sex with me and they want to do, you know, mm-hmm. all these things, but they just can't call it what it mm-hmm. is.
That so. Or they do that exact situation, and then to see them then commit to somebody mm-hmm. after you.
Yep.
It's like, oh, okay, no. Like, I need to. That yeah. makes you want. I'm like, I need to understand this now, mm-hmm. because what was so different from what we just had going on mm-hmm. to what you're doing now?
Okay, so 2 points. So to that, I've seen that happen like so much, not even with like people I've dated, but like yeah. with some friends and stuff like yeah. that. And I think my theory behind that is that like they realize that they really messed up with whomever, and they like
try to go fix it.
Yeah, try to fix it and like jump on the opportunity to make sure that they treat somebody else right or don't, you know, make the same mistakes. Mm. I mean, there's other factors, but I think that sometimes that may have a role in it, because that happens so many times. And I think about the people who they were with, and it's like, these are good people. And mm-hmm. so it's just like, sometimes it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then also what you were saying, like, something that kind of triggers me is like, you know, when I'm dating and like people ask me, like, you know, they get to know me and they ask me, well, like, why are you single? Like, why, you know, why hasn't someone blah, blah, blah? And I'm just like, I mean, I can't really answer that. And so it yeah. kind of makes me think like, well, if these people are saying these things, like, I mean, was it something wrong with me yeah. or like, is it something that I was doing before and then like in the middle that I changed? I don't know. It just makes mm-hmm. me think like, well, like they say that, but then you don't really want to
yeah
commit.
Yeah.
Jenny, what did you just say?
Just talking about how like why, yeah, okay, yes, like why are yes, you single
yes. okay yes, that really bothers me, because that goes along with I think that can make you very insecure too, because mm-hmm. then you're asking yourself, why am I single, mm-hmm. when singleness is not like a disease, or it's not mm-hmm. an illness, mm-hmm. or it can be a great positive thing, because some
could
people
be a gift.
It yeah. can be,
yeah.
So yeah, I hate when people, because people always ask women that and never men.
Mm.
They never ask men mm-hmm. that question. It's always women, like something is wrong with us.
Or if they do ask,
or like
men,
we have to be in a relationship.
It's not in a negative way.
Yeah.
It's like, mm-hmm. well, why are you single?
How yeah.
No one snatched mm-hmm. you up yet. And I feel like yeah. it just has a whole different tone than when the conversation is geared towards women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when, I don't know, it's just like, if like when I'm asked that in that kind of way, mm-hmm. it kind of makes me feel like, well, I don't know, it's just, I guess it makes me second guess myself, like if they're asking like, oh well, why haven't, you know, someone like snatched you up and this and that, and it's like, well, I mean, I don't know,
then
like,
oh,
it
just you makes must me be second crazy guess.
Yeah,
you mm-hmm. must be crazy, that's why nobody yeah. was with you, or what did you do, or when really the reason why I'm single is because of what people have done to me. But that's a whole nother different thing, and I don't want to go into that with you, mm-hmm. because right. then one, I don't have to,
right,
and two, you're gonna say that I'm crazy right. back, you're gonna follow yeah. it back up to that, and it doesn't have to be that,
because really all it should be is, well, I'm single because no one has met my needs yet, no one has yeah, met my standards yet,
yeah,
you know, and no one has fit into someone I'm willing to give my time to, so until then I'm single, mm-hmm. like, you know, I know that we automatically go to that place. But really, it should be the opposite. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. no one's been good enough to snatch me up. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, I'm single.
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree. How do you date when you, like, is there a certain level? Because we all have insecurities. Mm-hmm. So, is there a certain level that is, like, healthy mm-hmm. that you can take into a relationship? Or when do you know if it's too much and you need to, you know, kind of work through that and mm-hmm. process that at some time?
I think kind of like what we talked about with boundaries and no's mm-hmm. and when all of those things become compromised because you're willing to overshadow what it is that you're being insecure about, then you probably need to go work on mm-hmm. your insecurities. Like, I think we can divert attention to other things and try to ignore it, but if it's still mm-hmm. there and it's festering and it's like a constant thing, then you probably need to work on it.
Yeah, and I think that for some people, I mean, there always may be some type of level of insecurity, but I think that if you're in a situation and you allow some type of action to allow that insecurity to heighten, then maybe like you don't mm-hmm. need to, because you can't manage it. I mean, I think that there can be like a healthy amount of insecurities that you have, just as long as it's not like being detrimental to like who you are, like, or you're like changing your character or getting out of character because of it.
Yeah, I completely agree, because I've dated people that, especially like if it comes up mm-hmm. if you find it coming up often, or if you have an argument with the person or something and they keep bringing it up. Because I dated somebody and they kept bringing up something that happened like in the beginning of the relationship. And then when the relationship ended, it came up again. And I'm like, one, you know, I'm going to call people out. You're insecure. Like, and of course, men don't like being told that.
Right.
Because they don't think that that's a thing. And I'm like, you are insecure.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you keep accusing me of doing something that I've never done. Mm-hmm. Months go by. It's been a year and a half. And you're still accusing me about something that did not happen.
Yeah.
And then want to say, this is why we're breaking up. No, we're breaking up because you're a self-sabotager. But like, you cannot keep pinning your insecurity, especially when I know the relationship that you were in before me, you know, she cheated. Mm-hmm. So now everything that I do is gonna be me cheating.
Hyper focused yes. on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a guy who was really insecure about, he liked everything I was doing in life. Like, you know, I was like a good student, high school. He knew I was like a good girl, like, they had good grades, I'm about to go to college, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, that made him very insecure mm-hmm. because he did not have those things mm-hmm. going on. And so it's like, oh, you just gonna leave me and go find a dude that's in college and da-da. And very much so, I did. But however, like, that's not how I was approaching the relationship. Like, I entered the relationship knowing who you were.
Yeah.
And knowing who you weren't. And so you want to keep focusing on that. And that's not, all I was concerned about was him and that I liked him. But sometimes people can just really project that.
Yeah.
And make it a focus. And it's not a focus. It's not even a thing. But people can make their insecurities a thing. And that's why we broke up. I was like, yeah, I can't. I think you need to go, I don't know, maybe find someone on your level and then you won't, I mean, I'm not even saying it like that, but find someone who isn't doing who are doing the same things that you are, and so you won't have that problem.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I dated somebody who actually was jealous of me being in the sorority, which sounds very strange.
I was jealous
of me having the sisterhood and me being really tight. Yes.
Yeah.
Things to do, being really, really tight. People I could call on for anything and just and not just being it like just a separate entity, but it mm-hmm. being a part of my life and me being so like active with it and active, you know, with my sorority sisters and all of that. And he didn't have that type of support. Mm-hmm. So he was so, I mean, I have talked, we dated years ago, like 4 or something years ago. And I've talked to him recently and he brought it up. Again,
Stop
what did
it.
He say? Yes, he did.
Well, you don't have to get
like, crazy, I mean, feel involved. Like, or
no, no, no. He just was like, you know, telling me about what's going on with his life. He's kind of like a woe is me person. So, I mean, you can only take what he says with a grain of salt. But he's like, you know, I'm just doing all these things, and you know, everybody around me is people like working for me. So I don't know if they really about me. And you have, you know, your sorors and all of that, yikes. You know, that you can call in. And I'm like, we are not back in like 2014. Yikes. Like, I'm not doing this. So yeah, it very much came down to he's just very, I'm like into things, and either one, people have been jealous because they don't know what they want to do themselves, right. You know, and they're lost, or they don't have that support and they don't know how to support you with having that support,
right?
So
it's like, well, what do you need me for?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have been there with me being insecure because what else am I supposed to do? I'm slapping the furniture. What else am I supposed to do? Wait around for you? I had to move furniture, move TVs, do things. I'm supposed to just wait for a man to just fall out of the sky to take my trash out and wipe my car off, take my car to go get, you know, checked out and maintenance. Then no, I'm not about to do that. So go on about your business. But yeah, men have the, they talk about us and want to but really they try to project their insecurities onto
their insecurities are deep. There was this guy I dated in college, and well, I won't even say dated, but like we talked or whatever, but you know, he just got real weird real fast. He had like dropped out of school and he used to run track, so he used to have like that going on, had his team. And it's like he went total 360. I think he had smoked too much marijuana because all of a sudden he started growing locks. Not that that's an indication, Tyra. I'm not trying to stereotype your hair.
I know what you're saying.
But like all of a sudden he was doing that and he was really into certain type of music and just got real strange real fast. But anyways, he came over one night because he was like, we just haven't seen each other in a while. I want to reconnect. I'm like, oh, okay. And so he comes over and he's like, yeah, I saw that you're in a sorority now and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah. And he went on a tangent.
Saying what?
You know you're a gang, right? You know there's no difference between you and the gang, right?
Gang. Oh,
here we go with that.
Like gang. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it wasn't just like, oh, he just said this comment and I was able to brush it off. He wanted to really, like, he had researched. And he was going through all this research with me. And I was just like, I don't know what you want out of this conversation. But I think it was exactly what you said. Like, he wasn't in college anymore. He didn't have the same friends. He wasn't on his track team anymore. He sees me doing this thing. He's in this weird space in life. And I think he was trying to justify the space that he was in with me. And it was like, that was the only way he could make the connection. When really, I was, you're straight. Like, it's time for you to go. Like, that's how the conversation ended. I'm like, yeah, you should probably leave. But yeah, guys get real weird with theirs.
They get, let me tell you, somebody missed my whole birthday on purpose because they were insecure.
What?
Yeah. Okay.
Didn't want to come because somebody was going to be there.
Didn't want to come because they weren't financially in a place. Didn't come to my surprise birthday dinner, which I thought he was going to be there. He did not show up. And then text me like the whole day.
What?
Which I knew something was cooking. Like, I thought the beginning of the day, oh, he's going to have something planned. Nope. Hadn't heard from him. Aisha told me to get dressed. So I knew something was going on. So then I thought, oh, he's going to be there. That's why I haven't heard from him all day. He probably sent some surprises. He never fucking came. And then never talked to me the whole day. And text me the next day and said, how was your birthday? I mean, we broke up because of that. But for
that's
sure.
That's crazy.
But like, you could have made.
You could have said,
all you had to do was come, just show up.
You could have just came.
You know how many birthday dinners we went to
broke,
and our sisters wanted to go to the most expensive little spots. We had no money. It was like, well, we gonna eat before we come. We'll come because you want us there. We're gonna drink water.
Right. We'll show up, have a little kiki.
Take your little pictures with you.
Take your pictures.
And we're gonna go get 2 for $20 somewhere else. But we was broke. But like, dudes don't plan, like, they don't think that far.
We could have had my birthdays in the summer. You know how many free things?
Could have just went and walked on the canal. Wow.
Could have walked up, could have had a picnic. He could have made some shit in his house.
He could have got you a ham sandwich. And a fruit
on
cup
the canal,
and a blanket.
And I would have been there. You know me. I would have been there.
You would have loved that.
I would have loved it.
Yeah. Guys don't think like that.
No. So I just, the men with the insecurity.
So frustrating. So frustrating.
Like, I'm not, and we're not going to dumb ourselves down to play on your insecurity.
No.
Like, it's not going to happen.
No.
Jenny's face.
Jenny's just going through all her list in her head.
Men and their insecurities.
It's too much. Just too much. Like, and I feel like the older I get, the more I'm just like, more things are just like coming out, and like, I'm just seeing like so much, and it's just like, y'all think we're the problem. I mean, okay, yeah, I get it. There may be things that we do.
Yeah.
Right. But at least we can own up to it. Like, you all don't want to own up to it, and then you blame it on us.
Why you act like we acting crazy? No.
Right.
I'm not acting crazy. I'm just calling you out on your shit, and you don't like it.
No. It's crazy.
Weirdos. They're weird. Weird and poor.
Oh my gosh. We can't start that again.
Y'all poor.
I'm not gonna make it. We're not gonna start that again. Oh gosh. Oh, well, let us know how your insecurities, or, you know, people you were dating, how their insecurities impacted your relationships, situationships, friendships, all of the above. Like, because it is a thing. And, you know, it's one thing to just know your insecurities, but it's a whole nother thing to, like, actively try to work at them and address them and not let them impact other people around you. So, yeah. So, of course, join the conversation on Twitter. You can check us out at @Shenanigans_pod. Let us know what you think. Let us know what your experiences have been. You can also find us at Strength of She on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So, next, we're going to jump into the Be Well segment.
You want to shimmy on down?
Shimmy on. Shimmy on.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about how to boost your energy. Spring is here, you know, the time has changed, so we have more daylight, the weather is breaking, hopefully.
Finally.
It stays. So, you know, you kind of want to get out of your winter funk and try to boost your energy a little bit, try new things. So, a couple things that you can do is fix your sedentary lifestyle. So a lot of people will go and like work out for like an hour or whatever, a really good workout, but then don't do anything active for the rest of the day because you like sit at the desk, or you go home, sit on the couch and stuff like that. So, you know, you can get more out of like your workouts if you just change up your lifestyle altogether instead of just, you know, working out and then that being the only time that you're active. So now that there's more daylight during the day for everybody, if you get home from work and it's still, you still got like some sunlight, go outside, take a nice little walk around the neighborhood. I do this thing, like if I'm off and I know that I'm about to just binge watch something, every like 2 episodes I try to do like some jumping jacks or something, because
that's good.
I would just sit all day.
Me too.
And yes, but I feel bad if I do,
like,
it
after you do it.
If I've been doing it for so long, I'm like, okay, I gotta get up. Like, this is stupid.
I had to do something else.
So yeah, like some jumping jacks or something like that, you know. Little lunges can help. The next thing that you can do to boost your energy is to create a sleep routine, like, because your sleep cycle is probably off balance. Mm-hmm. So you can, of course, use the, if you have an iPhone, use like the bedtime feature on your phone. It definitely helps because it will alarm you when it's time to shut down. Like turning your electronics off or not, like not looking at them like 30 minutes before bed or whatever really helps.
I haven't mastered that yet.
Me neither, but I've realized that because I take Benadryl or melatonin before I go to bed if I have to work, and I realized that it only the more that I'm like still and laying down, it'll work. If I'm still moving, it won't work. Like, it won't just automatically make me drowsy.
Never works for me.
Yes, you have to like take it.
I know, I used to lay there, but whatever. I digress.
Well, and sometimes you have to like change your dose. And when I feel like I have to keep going up on my melatonin, I'll switch to Benadryl. But also just laying there, that doesn't really help too. Like, that doesn't help me. I have to fall asleep either immediately or like I just won't go. So kind of just laying there doesn't help you either. So yeah, use a bedtime feature. Try to set a bedtime for yourself, like a hard stop.
It's so hard doing it. I think like once I'm done with school, I will be able to do it because like I would use the app, you know, on my phone, and it does help to kind of remind me, but I don't always get in bed at the time that I want to. But it's so important to have like some type of like routine, because I realize like if I don't, I feel more restless if I go to sleep, like if I fall asleep on the couch and I didn't really prepare for bed. Or like if I'm just like in bed, like looking on my phone or whatever, and I'm not actually saying, okay, well, I'm gonna put my phone away at a certain time, or I'm getting in bed to actually go to sleep. Like, I just feel a little bit more restless when I wake up, and I felt like I didn't really get a good night's worth of sleep.
Yep, the next thing that you can do is eat a good breakfast. And you know, most of us like will have coffee or like a pastry or something just to get us, you know,
going.
And that's not enough. First of all, sugar, I don't know about y'all, but if I have sugar for the first thing in the morning, it makes my stomach hurt. Makes my stomach hurt or it drags me down. So but I can't really eat as soon as I wake up, especially when I work, because I have to be up at like 5:30. That's too early for me to eat. So I will do like a shake, and that's okay. But if you are gonna have breakfast, make sure you like include like a protein or like a high fiber, something that's just not like full of carbs and sugar, because you'll crash.
Eggs and kale are a wonderful breakfast. Eggs and kale and bacon.
That sounds good.
It's very good.
Another way to boost your energy is to get the nutrients that you need, because you're probably not getting them. So taking a multivitamin, changing up your diet, so getting more like potassium and magnesium, because they helps with your muscles and especially for like spasms and stuff, like in your legs and all that. Get more potassium, get more vitamin D, take multivitamin. You know,
I've been taking mine in like,
I have been either,
months. It's been in my suitcase because I keep taking it out of town with me and forgetting to take it.
And
my life back together.
I'm sure it will give you lots of really good benefits if you actually did it, because I need stuff with like iron in it and B12 and all of that.
I need all that stuff.
Take a multivitamin or switch up your diet. Another way to boost your energy, which this helps me a lot too, is staying hydrated. So not being dehydrated. Everybody at work knows I will drink some water, like, and I'm way better at doing it at work than I am at home. I realized and figure out like who you are as a person. For me, I need a big bottle, because if I have to keep refilling it, I won't drink enough. I saw somebody with a 3-liter bottle and I really wanted, because it was huge. It was like this big. I'm like, oh, I'll be good for the day.
I know,
but
I have a 64.
I have a 48,
and now I have a 24. And
you see, I feel like when my bottles I mean, I like drinking water, so it's not really ever hard for me to get the water I need. But I feel like when I have bigger bottles, sometimes I'm not as motivated to drink the water compared to having smaller bottles. Because if I have smaller bottles, I'm like, okay, well, I know I need to drink this before I leave because I'm not going to be able to be near a water fountain. Or I'm not, like, if I'm driving, if I'm going somewhere, I may not be able to get water. So I may drink more water knowing that I'm not going to be able to get to water like for a certain time. Yeah.
Yeah, and some people would be overwhelmed if they saw a big bottle and not want to tackle it versus, like, a 20-ounce or a 24-ounce.
Yeah.
And there's some, one of my friends has one from Amazon that has like the times on it for how much you should drink. There's apps. You're supposed to drink like half your body weight in ounces a day, which I'm pretty good about drinking that much water. Like, I genuinely like drinking water. They also have like the shakies, like the little mixed things you could put in your water. They help a lot. So I think just staying hydrated, because when you are dehydrated, you feel like very confused. You feel fatigued. You get headaches.
I'm sleepy now.
I think drinking water, like, you just feel light and like refreshed. Your skin looking good. Your brain is clear.
And quick shaky tip: if you don't like things with like aspartame and artificial sweeteners, there are shakies called True. I think they're only available at certain stores, but they have like stevia and all natural sweeteners and stuff like that, so they're a little better for you. So I've been using those.
And then lastly, the way to boost your energy is to stop stressing, which sounds like impossible, but at least have a good like self-care plan of what to do when you are stressed, because some stressors are good. Sometimes you can avoid certain stressors, but have a good like escape plan and the way that you can break away from what is causing you stress, whether it's school, whether it's work, whether it's your family, whether it's your spouse, your boyfriend, your kids. Have a good like plan, you know, on how to relieve your stress. Even if it's something as simple as diffusing oils or taking a nap. That's one of my favorite self-care practices. You know? So yeah, that's how you can boost your energy for this spring to summer 2019.
Thanks, Tyra.
You're welcome.
Those are great tips.
Thanks.
Maybe you guys might find those on the blog.
No pressure.
No pressure. All right, shimmy on down to Jenny. What are we talking about today on the BU segment?
So I feel like this year for me, a theme, well, I feel like I've kind of had a few things, but one of the main things for me has been kind of like putting myself first and finding ways that I can become a better person by like investing in myself. And so like the biggest investment that I've done, I mean, everyone, you know, like knows that I'm in school and that I'm like graduating soon. And so with that, I feel like I've been thinking about a lot of things, like people ask me, well, what are you going to do after you graduate, this and that or whatever, which I don't know exactly what I want to do. And I know that it's okay for me not to know. But I think with that, I don't want to, you know, graduate, be done with school and become stagnant and pouring into myself. And so I want to kind of talk about how you can continue to invest in yourself, even if you like feel like you've reached a point where you've accomplished a lot, because there's always room for growth. And so you want to make sure that you're putting yourself in positions that, you know, in the case of something happened to, like, you know, like your actual like full-time job, that you can still be able to generate like other income. Which investing in yourself is not necessarily only about money, but it's a big thing. And so there's different things that you can do to invest in yourself that will allow you to make money, but it's not necessarily you just like you know, like pour money like into you. I don't know if that even like makes sense. So you always want to make sure that you're taking time for you and figuring out what it is that you're interested in, and things that you can do to always make sure that you're putting yourself first. And so some ways that you can continuously like invest in yourself is by investing in your confidence. And so making sure that you're doing things that you know that's going to make you feel good about yourself. And so if you're doing things that make you feel good about yourself, you're going to be able to do other things. Or like, for example, like if you're looking to like move up in your company, if you're confident about it, your supervisor, they're going to realize that, you know, you know who you are, you're confident in you, in who you are, and that you will be an asset to, like, you know, wherever you're working. Mm-hmm. And so you just want to make sure that you are figuring out ways that you can continuously build your confidence, mm-hmm. As you go along and whatever you have going on in your life. So you want to make sure that you understand what you actually bring to the table. Because when you do realize that, other people will listen. And so you want to make sure that people are listening to you. And that's how you know, are able to become greater, like move up or whatever it is that you're doing. You also want to make sure that you're owning your own story. And so whatever that looks like for you and whatever it is, regardless of if you consider it's a good or bad story, it's yours. So you want to make sure that you own it, and that you're confident and, or that you're walking in confidence, in who you are as a person. You also want to like respect your intuition. And so when we're put in different situations, you know, sometimes we have that battle with ourselves of, you know, if we're doing the right thing. And most of the time your intuition is telling you the right thing. And so you want to make sure that you are respecting it and listening to it, when you are faced with these situations and you don't really know what to do. Because I know that every situation I've been in, and like I had to, like my gut was telling me something, I've always been right about it. Like I feel like I've never been wrong about, you know, my intuition. Some people may not believe that, and they may not be big on, you know, like a woman's intuition, but you want to make sure that you at least have a good balance of listening to your intuition and using logic with whatever it is that you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel like over the years, whenever I use my intuition, it's helped me make better choices for whatever it is that I had going on at that time. You also want to make sure that you are investing in your learning. And so whatever that looks like for you, it doesn't have to be college. It can be a trade school, or it can be just, you know, attending different workshops or seminars that's going to give you additional knowledge. And the thing about like learning is that's one thing that no one can ever take away from you, is like your education. And so you want to make sure that you're continuously learning new things, whether it's like, you know, I don't know, if you want to learn how or if you want to learn a new language or whatever it is that you want to do, you want to make sure that you are giving yourself time to do those things and actually take time to do it. And then one thing that I always had thought about is creating a bucket list. Well, I've created a bucket list, but I always thought it was something that you would do when you get older. Mm-hmm. Like you create a bucket list for things that you want to do, before you get like, you know, in your older age. But you should start creating your bucket list now, just because you don't want to wait until last minute and realize that, you know, you've been spending your life doing things that you didn't really want to do. And then you look back and you realize that you didn't really do anything that you were really interested in. And so spend time creating that list and start working on doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, just tap into your creativity. Putting yourself in areas or opportunities to challenge yourself, to do something that you're not really too comfortable with, because a lot of people, I mean, you won't grow if you are staying within your comfort zone or like your safe zone. And so you want to put yourself out there to be challenged, so you can see your limits, but you can see how far you can go or what you're capable of. Because I feel like a lot of people, they put themselves into a box because they're either unsure or they think that people are going to judge them or whatever. But it's like, you can't think about those things if it's something that you really are passionate about, and you just have to get out there and like put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so those are just some things that I want to leave you with on how you should invest in yourself. So like I mentioned, it's not necessarily just like a financial investment, but, you know, investing yourself mentally, emotionally, physically as well. So you want to consider all those areas when you're thinking about, you know, how you can become a better version of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Like.
I like, especially, you know, because I think that we always, not always, but that sometimes we can lose sight of that and lose sight of things that we're doing for us and not making it all about money and trying to save or trying to buy a thing, mm-hmm. but making it more universal and intentional is important too, which actually helps me kind of go into the Be Love segment because today I wanted to chat about goals in love, mm-hmm. and how it can be difficult to keep up with your goals when you're in relationships. I think that sometimes, you know, we lose sight of what it is that we're wanting to do, and we just become so engulfed and involved with this other person and, you know, your journey together, and you kind of forget about your individual journey and what you want to do, and kind of lose sight of that and put yourself and your goals on the back burner. So have you ladies ever done that? Kind of put goals on the back burner because you were in a relationship? And if so, what were they? Did you ever revisit them?
Honestly, I don't know if I can remember what they... Well, no. Yeah, so I've done that a lot. And I think me learning more about myself when it comes to like actually being in relationships, mm-hmm. I know that that's something that I'm very bad at, because when I'm in a relationship, it's not that I don't acknowledge who I am as a person, but I care for people a lot, and I want to make sure that they're happy and that, you know, that they feel good. And so sometimes I feel like I might not contribute to the things that I'm actually interested in, but it's not necessarily intentionally, mm-hmm. or intentional. Like, it's just, it kind of happens naturally as I'm like pouring into their relationship. I kind of get away from the things that I wanted to do. But I think one thing, some of the goals that I've like not paid that much attention to while I've been in a relationship is like my fitness, because it's like, you know, like if you laid up, you ain't want to go to the gym in the morning. I'm just like, you know, you don't want to do that. Or like, you know, late at night, you know, if you're doing something, you got plans with him or her or whoever, you know, like you ain't gonna want to do it. And so I think that that's something that it's hard for me to kind of balance when I am in a relationship. Yeah.
That, or y'all going on dates, you going out to eat, you getting all this relationship weight.
I haven't lost the relationship weight I gained.
Oh my gosh. It's so hard. It's hard.
It's so hard.
How about you?
Yeah, I think definitely fitness related. But see, here's the thing. We both could be on the fitness streak, because I've had a gym membership with somebody, mm-hmm. and they lost a whole 40 pounds. Like,
oh my gosh.
While they fast. Were in a relationship? Yes. While we were together, I gained 20 pounds.
Yeah.
He lost 40, like, lost it. But then he just gained it all back. I just saw him not that long ago.
I don't know.
And he's gained all that weight back. But yeah, like, he dropped the weight just that fast. And it just does not happen.
It doesn't happen as for girls, fast that for women, fast. Yeah.
But definitely, yeah, definitely fitness related. And then, or I just feel like I'm not working on anything. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, I would be doing something, but I'm just so focused on what you got going on. It's kind of taking,
right?
You know, like the focus. Mm-hmm. is on whatever you have going on, so I don't have time to think about me. And it's mm-hmm. not supposed to be like that, but right. it has been. Yeah.
So, okay, so in my past relationships, I feel like it's been easy to do that, like to forget like the things that I want to work on, because the other person may not have had aspirations or mm-hmm. goals themselves. Mm-hmm. So do you all think that like it's easy to like lose sight when the other person doesn't have goals themselves, or it doesn't really matter if they're working on, you know, if they got a lot of stuff going on themselves? Like, I feel like, yeah,
no, I think it matters. I think that it can make the balance more difficult, mm-hmm. Because you know, you don't want to take time away from them, even on a whole nother level, aside from just wanting to be around you. But you literally don't have anything else to do but be around me. And I have other things to do, but I'm sacrificing to spend time with you. And so I think it can, you may not lose sight. It may be in the back of your mind, but you just aren't given the time that you need to because you're choosing to fill their time.
Yes. And I feel like that has happened to me before. And I feel like there were things that I knew that I wanted to work on, but I feel like, oh, I need to hurry up and rush and finish this because he's waiting, or, you know, I'm going to just put this off because I know that he's going to be waiting on me.
I'll and so just I kinda, do it tomorrow.
Or I kind of felt bad, you know, the fact that I had these things to do, but it's like I'm doing all these things and, you know, like people weren't doing anything. So it's just like, I feel like it makes it so much easier to, you know, not continue when this person is not working on anything, and you know that, okay, well, if we schedule to do something, oh, but I'm at the gym, but let me hurry up and finish at the gym because I know he waiting on me.
Yeah, so that's a little icy, Jenny. I think that that's very easy to do, but I think that when you come across individuals like that, eventually you're not going to want that anymore. Like, going to be, it's going to be a point of unattraction because they don't have anything going on, but you know, they don't have other things.
But not on the same page
You're not on the same page. Like, I think that when people are very motivated and high, I can't think of the word, but basically you're extra motivating, you're doing a lot of things, like, you tend to want other people like that because you want to feel like that they're out doing something too, you know what I'm saying? And you don't have to just sit up and lay up all the time because you got shit to go do too, like, go do your thing and we'll meet back up. I agree. Well, I think that we've all been there, and I think it's very easy to do, especially, like, you know, you just mentioned you aren't on the same page. But here are some ways that you can stay focused on your goals and what it is that you're trying to accomplish, even if you're in love and in a relationship. You can dedicate days and times to your goals, and, like, specific days. Like, say, hey, like, sure, we can hang out, but we can't hang out on Wednesdays. You know, we can't hang out on Monday night because I have X, Y, and Z to do, and those are my days to do it. And the same lines, also maybe have special days for them. Like, sure, everyone doesn't want to be on a schedule, and it doesn't have to be all scheduled out, but maybe y'all do have, like, a date day or a date night, and you just know every week, like, this is our date day and our date night. We need to change it, we'll change it. But it just helps you make sure that you're prioritizing the time with them, and that you're prioritizing the time with your goals. Set boundaries, you know, make sure that, sure, you know, you're giving up some time, but you're also not allowing them to make you feel bad about what it is that you're doing. Like, you can't, I don't want you, if you don't have anything positive to say about me going to the gym, let's not talk about me going to the gym. Like, you don't have anything positive to say about me being in school, let's not talk about that, because, you know, I'm gonna, and this is another one, you both should be supportive of each other, whether that's, you know, them doing their thing or not doing anything, or you doing your thing. Like, you both should be supportive and understanding of each other. And so that's pretty major, but also balancing your sacrifices because there may be, you know, a Monday that, you know, you had panned out to work on your thing and it's a concert happening, you know, or something. And you make a sacrifice, but, you know, it shouldn't always be you. It should be on both sides. So just making sure that you're not giving too much and not giving too much up, but you're being flexible and having balance with your sacrifices. And also, this is very relevant, especially if you're, like, in a shared living, co-living, co-habitating situation. but be helpful and share responsibilities. Mm-hmm. It can be very easy when you're a busy person for small things to just fall off the schedule and fall off the to-do list, because for you, I have more important things to do than do the dishes and do this and do that. You want to make sure you're still pulling your weight. You don't want them to feel like, you know, your home and them aren't important because you aren't making time for those things just as equally, and that they have to pick up all the slack. So just make sure that you're sharing responsibilities and being a helpful partner, although you have things going on. So, So hopefully that helps you guys, because you can be all in love and have goals and have things going on at the same time. You just have to set your boundaries and make your time and intent very clear.
I feel like it just goes back to, you know, making sure that you know yourself and know who you're like getting in like into a relationship with. Because, I mean, you need to be able to have an understanding before, you know, things even get too deep that,
right,
okay, I'm busy. These are things that, you know, I care about, that are important to me. You know, like, is this an issue for you? Mm-hmm. Like, you need to be able to have those conversations and know, you know, what the person is okay with and what you're not okay with. And I think, I mean, I know that's happened to me multiple times, just jumping into something and then end up not working out because it's a conversation that we didn't have before.
Yeah. They didn't understand your time and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, close us out, Jenny. What is She-spiration today?
Oh, okay. So today's She-spiration is short and sweet. And so I think I forgot. Okay, so just a little backstory. So I guess it's not the actual She-spiration is short and sweet. But I have a friend who's like dealing with this issue, and like, you know, he was running this, he created his own business, and like the person that he was working in the business with pretty much like this took shit over his business. Oh. And like, yeah, so he's like going through court and all this to get this back. But anyway, so he said this, he told me his quote, and I was like, oh, you're so right. But I mean, it made me just think about like everything that I deal with and like work with, and then everybody, I mean, they go through different things. But okay, I'm just gonna get to it. So the She-spiration is, so failure is an experience and it's not who you are. And so when you think about experiences, just think about it as like they come and go. You know, it's something that's not set in stone. Mm-hmm. It's something that you can learn from and change or do differently in the future. So don't let it define. Don't let failure define who you are as an individual overall, when it's just something that you just experience.
Yeah,
that's it.
Facts. Well, thanks, Jenny. And thank you. And thanks, Tyra. And thank you, listeners, for joining us yet again for another episode of Shenanigans. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and we hope that you tweet us about it. Check all of season 2 out at thestrengthofshe.com/shenanigans podcast. So you can check that out and go back and listen to our previous shows. But we will see you back here with a new episode in 2 weeks. Bye.